Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I'm very excited. We're getting a series of midwifery interviews out. I feel like in the wintertime and all this stuff post-COVID, midwives have so many amazing stories to tell, and we'd love to listen and learn from each other's stories. So I have Yana Shankle here. She's a certified nurse midwife that practices near Northern Indiana. And so we were just chatting a little bit. I was like, we got to hit record. There's too many wonderful things we're chatting about. So Yana, thank you so much for being on with me today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So before we get into the thick of what we were talking about, I would love for you to tell your backdrop story of why you became a midwife. I was reading a little bit on your beautiful website, so I would love for you to tell everyone your midwifery journey.
So, you know, the funny thing is that I grew up in Germany, and the whole learning process of becoming a midwife over there, which I was over there, it's a little bit different than over here. I would say that over in Germany, we are very glorified OB nurses that go to school for 3 years. And but we don't do any doctor provider stuff. And so I was, when I was 13 years old, we had to do job shadowing. And they were telling us what we want to do. And based on our characteristics, they wanted us to put in one of the industries. And so I went to the hospital. I always wanted to do something with the hospital. My whole family is medical, but I just didn't know which one, where I'm going to go. And long story short, I ended up in the OB unit, and somebody said, hey, I don't know what else to do with you. Why don't you go and just watch this birth? And I'm like, okay. Like I have, you know, never even imagined anything. And I always make the joke that midwifery is not just a job, it is a calling. And I felt I walked into this room as a 13-year-old, and I walked out of that room as a midwife. Uh-huh. And it was for me an absolute, this is what I want to do. And I never had any clarity ever before like this. And so, you know, being 13 years old, of course, you have like all those glamorous thoughts in mind, right? And so when I was 17 years old, I started my journey to be a midwife. And by the time I was 19, I was without a job and had kind of like in the middle of everything. And how fate led me, I ended up in the United States. And I was like, okay, am I redoing my schooling or am I just kind of trailing? Because my education from Germany wasn't accepted equally to anything off here. And in the end, I see it was a blessing to it, because I went and redid my nursing degree at University of Detroit Mercy. And then I went and got a little bit of nursing done. But because I always knew I'm going to end up being a midwife, I avoided the OB floor like anything else. So I went everywhere else except the OB floor. I went in the ICU, in the OR, in home care. And I was a home supervisor at some point. I was doing business and clinical and just kind of like touchy-feely kind of stuff. And in the end, all of that experience brought me where I'm actually are. Because I can see in my profession that I sometimes have to be the house supervisor, but sometimes I have to be the home nurse. And sometimes I simply have to be okay with holding someone's hand and say, it is okay. And you just kind of being a social worker a little bit in that sense. And so all in all, you know, you get all this critical thinking that you learned and you apply it actually to the best of my knowledge. And so I got into the community by a sure guidance of God. And like I said, I am convinced that I am supposed to be here and do this job. And then this last year, so about a year ago, exactly about a year ago, I came to questions of like, what am I doing? Why am I working with someone that is not feeling or sharing my vision, not thinking the way I think? And I just broke out with no capital, with absolutely one day of the next. I registered my business, and all of a sudden I was here and I'm thinking, what am I doing?
I know, and we're good at being midwives, but then all of a sudden we're like, what about the business side of the midwife?
Exactly. It was like, wait a minute, I have to pay taxes and how much and when where did you register? And all of those questions came up. But, you know, like you said already, we're here in Lower Indiana. We have a really great couple of people that working together, even though we individual businesses, we still try to work together as partners in the committee itself. And so Blessed Beginnings has been very helpful with that. And so Kate Chance, like we mentioned already, and Laura Gilbert and, you know, Betsy McCain and all those other people kind of helped me along to find my way, what I need to do. And yes, it was a little bit bumpy in the beginning, but in the end, I came out in green numbers, which is quite amazing for a first year business. I'm still considered a startup, and yet I already made what I
Being in Northern Indiana, like I, you and I, before we started recording, like I did my training in 2012 there, and I know that community very, very well. It is prime for midwives. Like it is busy. There's huge Mennonite Amish communities. Their husbands work in factories, the RV factories. So they're a little more affluent than the average. And so like, it's a prime area. If you want to be a midwife and get going really quickly, Northern Indiana is for sure that
place. Absolutely. In my first year, I being in the business alone, I did about 108 babies. Wow. The year before, I was 125. So in those 2 years, I made more than I did in my 5 years prior to working in the field out there. And what's so amazing to me is that I'm trying to reach out and actually make people aware that there's a birthing center right in your community. Please come. We're not just taking the Amish. We're taking everyone. And the thing is that even, you know, South Bend is like this metropolis because of Notre Dame and all that. And people don't even know what they have in their own backyards. And so we have been really actively trying to involve the community and trying to spread the news that birthing centers are a safe outpatient alternative to the hospital. And that we are NRP trained. We are not just a shack in the woods somewhere, you know, trying to... I don't know what people think.
The misunderstanding. What do you bring to birth?
It truly is. It really truly is. And then, you know, the other day I just found a client that reached out to me and he says, I was amazed with the knowledge that you came at me. And sometimes, you know, people misunderstand midwives, right? You know, like I still feel like we are in this frontier like state of mind where we have to prove ourselves.
Yeah.
And really truly, we are strong women. We are having a great opportunity to provide currently of the state of medicine it is right now, and how midwives can come in and don't need to prove themselves anymore. They just come in and do. And I think it is kind of like a wonderful time where we at.
Post-COVID, the demand has went through the roof, and it's the opposite. The midwives are already busy as can be, and they're pushing the limits that we're seeing a lot more burnout. And so it's really important for me doing the business side. How can I support the midwives? Because like you said, the demand has went through the roof the last year and a half. And I know you haven't talked fully about, but you have privileges at 2 birth centers and you're the director of one of them. So you wear so many hats. You've just started your practice. You're a mom of 3 kiddos. Like, I think it's very impressive. So,
but you know what though? You know, I feel like the more hats we put on, there's the more quality we give to each of them. And I think this is where kind of like mid of last year, I kind of like said to myself, you know, wait a minute. When all this directorship came into question and they offered me if I want to do this, it took me a whole half a year to actually wrap my mind around it. Mm-hmm. And then I said to myself, you know what, listen, if I'm going to be doing this, I have to slow down on one side. And then I really truly, you know, I don't work on Fridays, and it's intentionally because I want to just spend time when I can pick up my kid from school, or have when my oldest one comes to home from school, actually say, hi, mom. And I say, hey, how was today? And not constantly like shipping, like missing ships in the night, you know? And this what has been my life in 2020. When COVID hit, it was like a bomb going off. Everyone was just running from the hospitals into our communities. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, people were just so outrageous. They would say, we want to be back at home, and we want to have twins at home, and we want to have, and it's like, wait a minute. Just because we're in this really crazy time, quality does not have to decrease, and quality will not decrease, you know? And so it was a lot of re-education, a lot of calming the minds.
Yeah.
And I think it still is.
Yeah.
And, but also at the same time, it's just really being true aware of what you want to do. And where do you want to end up? And I think as midwives, like you said already, we want to be good in all of those different spots. But we also have to be fair to ourselves that if we don't take the time for ourselves if we don't reach our priorities and our goals, we will burn out and will not be happy with anything that we do.
Yeah, I truly believe midwifery is in a very pivotal point right now, that either we're just not going to have clinicals because the preceptors are so burnt out and now we can't train the next generation that's trying to expand, or we're going to set better boundaries. We're going to set a better balance. We're going to get this business side of midwifery more figured out so that we can flourish, because the demand is there. I think it's really these midwifery practices kind of teetering. Do I just keep pushing and doing what I'm doing, or am I going to go back to the foundation of my practice and my life and restructure things for sure?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how did you end up in Northern Indiana? Is that where your husband is from? Or I'm just curious.
No. So my husband was born and raised in Detroit area, and we have lived in Detroit area. And this is one of those things where, you know, you kind of try to find your niche, right? Well, so when I graduated midwifery school, I was invited to join this really gigantic group in Flint. And I said to myself, you know what? That would be awesome having so many people. And, you know, every eighth weekend you had to work. And you're like, that is a plus already. Yeah. And the amount of people that we had was surprisingly low, but the hospital was also utilizing us as the triage providers.
Right. Yeah. You had multiple departments that were pulling from.
Multiple departments that were just kind of coordinating with us. And so I was intimidated by that group, obviously, because they were all experienced midwives. But I said, you know what, maybe I can just go in because we're not so busy and actually get support that I need. And unfortunately, we just didn't jive. The people were great, but somehow in the whole midst of it, it just didn't jive. And unfortunately, there was a non-compete clause in there that within 25 miles or 15 miles or 20 miles, something like that crazy, I wasn't able to practice. And the thing is that, you know, Flint has three major hospitals and they all had midwifery clinics in them. But unfortunately, I could not join any of them because of the compete clause. And so it was either move or be on call for 24 hours, stay there, and then go home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not the from home call, but you had to be in the hospital call. And I said to myself, you know, that's just crazy. So I started looking around and I found a position here at HealthLink in Mishawaka that serves the low income community. And that really where it got me down to Indiana. And I just fell in love with those people here. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to stay here. And we bought a house and we moved, and we have not regretted it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the country. And yeah, and I think people sometimes as new graduates, you feel intimidated, you have to pick any job or just pick what's in your local community. But as you get more experience and you start interviewing more, you get better at like, okay, my style, I don't care what you're going to pay me. Yes, that's important. I got to pay my bills. But are we going to have the same philosophy? Are we going to, because when you have such a large group, there's so many dynamics. And yeah, I mean, it's night and day. Indiana and Flint, like you've picked two extremes of midwifery styles.
Yes. But you know what? It was refreshing to see that there are people out there that think like me, that do think that they don't have, you know, this crazy understanding of certain things. And so I was just like, okay, we don't have to be all medical, physician-led thinking machines. We don't. We can be our own individual midwives and do what we were taught to do. I mean, I would get laughed at when I go and provide labor support.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, this is not what I was picturing to be as a midwife. I don't want to be a doctor 2.0. I don't want to. I want to be a midwife.
Yeah. Well, I think it's amazing that you found Indiana, because there are a lot of midwives that, especially in COVID and their beliefs and choices they're making, they're losing jobs in the hospitals and they're feeling overwhelmed. Like, okay, if I'm going to start a private practice, then move across the country or move somewhere else, that's a lot. How did you like process it? Did you feel like this is my calling and I'm just meant, or was it more the tiered, you went to the community where you had an employment job and then took the next stepping stone for a private practice?
You know, I gotta tell you, I still don't know how I end up the way I am.
Someone was leading you. So we just need to get the midwives to trust someone's leading them.
For me, I am a very faith-oriented person. And it was just simply of, God, where do you want me? And how do you want me? And show me. And the thing is that when I actually made the mental note, so I worked with a doctor that was very long in practice. He is 72 years old. He is still practicing actively. And he has been in the community for 45 years. Oh, Kitty. No, I think you need to go. And so, and he was very, very, very old school doctor. And our personalities were alike. But our practice style was not. And so I respected him for what he did and how he practiced. But I would say like, hey, so you do still doing C-section with a staple gun, huh? And he was like, yeah, and I will never change. And I'm like, okay. So I'm thinking to myself, you know what? To everyone their own. I don't have to do the C-section. I don't have to do first assist. I'm not involved in that mess, right? But after a while, there was more and more and more coming together where I'm like, okay, I don't have to do this. I absolutely do not have to just take second tier or have him tell me that you're wrong and I'm right. And that's just the way it goes. And so I'm like, you know what? Instead of fighting about it, let me pray about this and see where it goes. And I decided I'm going to pray for a week and we'll see what God leads me. And I was looking for the name, and my company is Happy Stork Midwifery. And the thing is that I always loved the stork, image of a midwife. It's just ingrained in the German culture. And I decided to myself, you know what, if it's going to be, I will have something with stork. And I said to myself, you know what, God, just show me if this is really truly it. If I see storks like popping out in this next 2 weeks, I know that this comes from you. Let me tell you something. I got stork images from people sent over to me that were like, oh, look at this. I just found it. I thought about you. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I walked into the birthing center and then there's like this big hanging with a stork flying and says, happy landing. You know, it's like the most bizarre thing ever that I have never thought of. And that is how I just plunged into
the
dark.
You took the leap of trust. And I think getting to the basics that people have options and that you need to trust the universe and listen to it. I think that's the biggest thing. Yeah. Sometimes we're so internal and we're so narrowed that we don't even open our eyes to see opportunities around us because of that scarcity or fear, or I have to work here because I need the paycheck. I need this. And I challenge midwives, like, your best security is starting your own practice, starting your own journey, following your own passion.
And the thing is that what I liked about your site, how I kind of got, you know, triggered on that, is that around the same time while I was thinking, I get your email, how to start a midwifery practice. I'm like, well, it's just bizarre. Yeah. And so that's how I kind of got connected with you. And what I like about it is I remember the email, I don't know, was maybe 4 or 5 months ago, you sent out saying other ways that midwife can make money. And one of the things that I really thought is like, you're absolutely right. I mean, midwife is like catching babies. No, we are primary care providers. Yeah. Let's not lose the skill that we get permission, like no other nurse practitioner does. Let's not throw this away.
Yeah.
Let's not, you know? And so I decided that I'm going to provide primary care services in my clinic. I do all in all. I do small children. I treat the coughs and the sneezes and the ear infection and the UTIs and all those different things because I can. Mm-hmm. I just simply can. And nobody else has to tell me that I can. Right. And this is what's so unique about our profession. I can provide contraception. I can provide family planning. I can provide primary care. I can provide OB services. I can provide gynae services. And I think midwives, like, again, and I've seen it over and over and over, oh, you're just doing blank. No, I'm doing all. Yeah. And I'm providing in this rural area where I am the only provider in my practice. It really truly is that when a kid gets sick, I am still a provider of this baby. I am still my responsibility. I'm not going to call the NICU team, who I don't have in the birthing center. I don't have a pediatrician next door who I can just say, hey, I need your help. Yeah. We are it. And I think we are undermining ourselves by just putting this really narrow focus on and not doing anything else except this.
Well, and it's very interesting, the two shifts, like CPM, certified professional midwives, licensed midwives, direct entry midwives, totally get it. They do all of it. They're trained all of it, but nurse midwives, it's very interesting because depending on your clinical experience, and most of the time you're working in a hospital setting, you don't have you don't have newborn privileges. You don't do anything but prenatal care. So you get down this narrowed mindset of what you think your scope is. And we have to be rethinking or re-educating ourselves on things that are just lost that we don't realize are part of our scope. Yeah.
I mean, I had some really interesting conversation with a couple of NPs because we're like, well, you cannot do this. I'm like, says who?
Yeah.
Where does it say that I cannot see a child? Where does it say that I cannot see an adolescent? Where does it say that I cannot see a man as a primary care provider? Nowhere it says people assume because midwife, maternity, women, but they don't realize that I can't treat men.
Actually, in the ACNM guidelines, there is a very clear thing that for men, we're only supposed to be treating them if it's sexually transmitted infections.
Right.
And well, then the newborn. And then newborns. The newborns, the first month of life. And there's fine lines between a family nurse practitioner and what we do. There's just a few extra things, but people don't realize some of these things because they don't, the type of midwife they see, they only see them doing a narrowed part of it. Correct.
Yes. And then, like I said, I mean, it's just that whatever you allow yourself to get comfortable in, and whatever you can do, that's what you can do, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's, I don't know. It just, it widened my eyes and it just kind of gave me the opportunity. And it's not like that I'm forcing people to come and see me, you know, they come and want my opinion. And most times I tell them, okay, listen, I'm being honest with you. I cannot treat your chronic hypertension and I cannot take care of your chronic diabetes. I just don't have the time for it. So
and the complexity and skill. Yeah. And you can choose what you want within your practice. Like, yes, I'm going to do primary care, but you get to pick and choose what conditions,
what the scope is of it. Yes.
Yeah.
And so I really truly retain myself to cough and sneezes and earaches.
Well, simple things make sense. I mean, yes, thyroid disease during pregnancy, but there's a lot postpartum, and that's where each person, if you get certifications, you're passionate about something, it's all about what is your comfort level of your training and your knowledge base and where do you want to expand? You can choose to do, like, some midwives love menopause. Some don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole, but that's part of our choices. And I'm glad that the blog post had inspired you. And the whole point of those are just to get midwives to think outside the box, because too many times I hear, I don't want to do a private practice because I don't want to be on call all the time. And I'm like, well, you can take a few OBs or no OB at all, but start a women's health clinic, start adding more of these other services that you're not on call 24/7. I think midwives forget, they go into, well, I've got to start a birth center home birth practice and I just got to do prenatal care and birth call. And they sometimes forget all these other things. So,
Yeah.
So how has it been so you just started your new practice. You're now the director of a birth center. How do you balance your personal life? You talked about Friday having off, but how do you create a good work-life balance? Because it sounds like you've had a busy first year of just birth call.
And that's the thing, right? Because I had so many births, I really said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to take more than 10 clients. Yeah. And so that was the first, you know, after I had 25 deliveries in 1 month because I was helping someone out, I said to myself, you know what? Nah, this is ludicrous. This is ridiculous. And so I said to myself, I can't do this. I will only do 10 births a month. And then I got the directorship offered and I said, I can even do 10. I am busy. There's like that is more than one third of the month.
Every 3 days you'd be,
So I'm like, I cannot do this. So I actually dropped further down my number out down to 8, 9. And the thing is that if you pick up, you know, if you provide other services, you can mix them in the middle of it a little bit and you don't have to take this big chunk anymore. And it has really truly been my rule that I don't see clients on Friday. The absolute way that I'm seeing clients on Friday is, let's say I had Monday all day birth. And I had to cancel all my patients from that week. So I moved them down to Friday. But it happened so few in between now that I really truly said to myself, you want, no, I will concentrate on this and I will stay true to my own family, because the divorce rate amongst midwives is unbelievable high. Yep. A lot of people talking about attorneys and divorce rate. No, no, no. I'm actually married to an attorney, so we have a double whammy there. but the thing is that it really truly, you kind of have to find a priority and you have to stick with it. The same thing like you do a business plan, you have to do a priority plan. What are my priorities? What I'm willing to give up and what I'm not willing to give up. I'm not willing to give up my kid to go to the doctor without me. I want to be there.
Yeah.
It's been a huge complication for my husband to do that because he just doesn't get it. And so I'm like, I want to go with you. So for me, it is like, you know, I want to do that. So if I want to do that, then I also need to make sure that I get coverage for that time. Mm-hmm. And then I think is where a lot of times the collaboration with other people comes into. And we have, right. like I said before, a very wonderful community with that, where I can just call someone up and say, hey, can you cover me for 2 hours? Most likely nothing is going to happen, but the peace of mind that I have, that's for those 2 hours.
You can actually turn your phone off. Yeah, you don't have to actually separate.
I don't actually have to answer anyone's phone call. And that is where it really truly becomes a importance that you're not alone. You should not be alone. It is ludicrous to be alone.
Yeah, and some communities have that option. And a lot of communities, because they're new and they're paving the way, they don't have those options. So it is a very unique thing.
And I feel for those people. I really do, you know. But the thing is that what I have also have learned is to put the value on ourselves. Like a lot of people, actually in my school, we were never taught about business.
Most people
talked about the clinical aspect. This is how you do. This is how you catch a baby. This is how you clinic someone. This is how you, you know, educate someone. It's how you do. But they're never taught to say, and now please pay me.
Yeah. Yeah. And valuing, you know, creating an accurate fee schedule and knowing what your true time is. Cause I think too many times midwives are like, well, I'll just do that. I'll just do that. And then they don't realize like how much they're stretching out their budgets because their salary is low, but then they're wondering where all the money's going because they didn't have that foundation. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing now, because in the United States as a whole, we're really not taught about financial education as far as a business side. You're taught to work for someone else and you're taught just basic levels of finances. So it's not just midwifery, it's the whole country as a whole. But it's really important to me that we need to get more midwives to understand the business side and value themselves, because when the numbers don't add up and you're wondering why you're frustrated, you love what you do, but you can't pay your bills, it just doesn't jive.
Whenever I have a student come in and shadow me, I always tell them this: when you get a work contract, read it and hackle. You are a provider now. You are not this nurse that you either take it or you leave it. Now you can actually bargain. And it is so hard for us midwives, or nurses rather said, to kind of switch into this position, and all of a sudden you are a provider now and you can demand. That I am not going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to come to work at 9 o'clock, and then I'm going to leave at 4 because this is my hours, you know? I just think that, you know, people need to be more aware of themselves, be aware of the power that they hold, and don't give this power away.
Yeah. Well, and just the value of our services. I think so many midwives, we went back to the scarcity mindset that there's not a lot of jobs and I apply and I don't get them. And I'm like, you always have choices. Like, what makes you happy? What are you passionate about? Yeah. We can help you start a business. There's so many great people. Like, that's why I love these interviews, because a lot of times they could connect with you afterwards and they loved a little gem you taught, or they pick your brain about things. But It's not just passing on midwifery clinical knowledge. It's passing on these private practice. How do you run a successful practice? Because that's going to be the growing trends. The hospital systems, depending on residencies and the competition, I truly believe we need more and more private practices. So I'm so grateful a year ago.
And you know, with the new bills that the ACNM is trying to lay through now, that we will potentially get privileges as the outside people going into the hospitals. I really hope it's going to work. I'm still having my doubts on it, but
The idea is good, but it's kind of like the insurance companies where they're private entities. They actually, it's a business. So I'm very curious with ACNM too, but it's got to create a momentum. It's got to create a starting point, but they are private entities. You can't legally tell a private entity who or who cannot, but my hope is that it'll be that pressure of the culture will start shifting so that the other hospitals don't feel like, okay, I'm the outlier that's restrictive compared to my neighbor. Now they have choices to go to. So
correct. And like I said, I mean, I hope it's gonna work out. It would be great. I don't think myself ever going back to the hospitals. I am happy the way I am.
Once you do private practice and you get to serve such an amazing community, it's hard to go to anything different because
The thing is, what's wonderful about it is that I really, you know, I always joke about it, but I said before I came to Indiana, I never believed that physiological birth is actually real.
No.
I thought it was like this zebra somewhere that somebody's telling us about.
A unicorn, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And
that's right. Like, I'm like, physiological labor, what are you talking about? Everyone is birthing with an epidural now. And now all of a sudden you're like, I see women come in and deliver it 3 hours later to just walk out of the room like they just had, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's just amazing to me.
If you don't see the cultures, if you just don't see and you're not exposed to the cultures. And I think that's the part that makes me so sad with nurse midwife clinicals. I had to work really hard to get home birth, the Amish in that community. Yes. I was very blessed with Jefferson University, but with malpractice insurances and the clinical opportunities, like it is very difficult for nurse midwife. So I'm grateful you're taking students on and I'm sure you get lots of requests.
I'm trying to do two midwife students a year. I had three last year. I got burned out a little bit.
Well, I'm very grateful you're taking students because they need to be exposed to this. How can you start a private practice when you've never seen this side of midwifery? It's very, very difficult.
That is correct. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Gianna, I appreciate your time greatly. We're at about 25 minutes and I know you probably got supper and I want to respect your work-life balance. So on a Friday evening. So Gianna, thank you so much for getting on with me today. Is there any high-level words of wisdom, like just a thing you want to tell aspiring midwives? At the end, I always ask everybody that.
Don't be afraid to jump into the unknown. It's no such thing as a pot. There is no such thing as a pitless hole. There is always a ground, and sometimes we don't see it, but you will not just fall. There are opportunities for you. Don't be afraid. Take the plunge, and if it doesn't work out, well, at least you tried.
Yeah, and it's a learning experience. I think every time something happens, you grow stronger. I mean, I have a couple of good friends going through some hard times because of just the life situation. And I'm like, it doesn't feel like it now, but this will better you. It really will. But like you said, we have to be positive and we have to be resilient as a profession. So thank you so much for joining me today, Gianna.
Thank you so much for that too.